Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Good morning, beautiful people. Welcome to my channel. Thank you for all your likes, shares, subscribes. Appreciate it. In this one, we'll talk about the exaltation and debilitation of Saturn. I want you to think of the previous two videos, deeper meanings of Saturn and deeper meanings of Jupiter. Why? While going through this, you should compare and contrast with Jupiter, because Jupiter and Saturn, even the previous one which we did of Jupiter and Saturn are literally opposing, not really opposing, I would use the term opposite forms of functioning. They provide the experience of life in whichever area of the chart they fall in. They provide that experience of life which is expansive, Jupiter. Saturn is contractive. So think of these two forces. These play out in all of our lives. One is teaching life experience through expansion, which is Jupiter, and Saturn is all about contraction. Okay? And we shall see how this plays out even when we go through the further slides. And this is important to understand, because everything essentially becomes a life experience in net result. If you see the sum total of your life, it'll be an expansion, contraction, and learning and experience and emotion and learning in the intellectual brain, as well as learning in terms of emotional content. In these two forms, some will feel expansive, some will feel contractive, you see. So this is the way I want you to understand Saturn. Saturn is contraction of everything. Contraction is not necessarily bad, by the way. If we have to understand Saturn, we have to get past the dogmatic, fanatical thinking of Saturn as the guy who's bad in that sense. For example, if Saturn sits in the 6th house, it is actually good, because 6th house is the house of debts and diseases. Well, you want both of those suppressed, isn't it? You don't want too many debts and you don't want too many diseases either. So, in that context, it becomes good. So, Saturn is not necessarily bad, and Saturn is usually depicted as the lord of time. Why? Because Saturn is slow. Saturn is deliberate, slow, and like the person who lays the brick and mortar. Think of that kind of a person. Person who does slow, deliberate steps and understanding through life. That's why Saturn crescent is at the bottom. It goes deep into the earth. It wants to understand the earth more. It's more of that kind of a sign. Planet. Jupiter, on the other hand, had cross at the bottom and crescent at the top, if you go back to the deeper meanings of Jupiter and Saturn. So Jupiter wants to go upward, go to understand the upward part of life. So you can literally think of Jupiter and Saturn as two things in terms of bodily chakras. You can think of Jupiter as everything above the navel, which goes up to the top of the head, which is going upward direction. And Saturn as everything going lower, everything below the navel. Okay, so it's going downward into everything. That's why Saturn is exalted in the 8th house. It is exalted in the 12th house. So it goes downward into the earth. One goes downward energy into the earth. One goes upward into the sky. Jupiter goes upward into the sky. Saturn goes deeper into the earth. So These are different forces. Not necessarily one is better than the other. Not necessarily one does not provide experience. Everything the soul wants here is an experience, is a life experience. Now, esoterically, if we analyze the charts, we need to see it in this way. Okay, now let's see the personifications and further descriptions of Saturn. Okay, now there you have our table of exaltation and debilitation of different planets, and we go right at the bottom now, the last guy, the Saturn, last but never the least. Okay, so Saturn has friends in Mercury and in Venus. What does it mean? Saturn is the guy who wants to work, daily routines, toiling through life. That's Saturn, toiling through time and maturing through years. It takes its time to do things. So in this context, we can say, psychologically speaking, Saturn loves intellectual knowledge because that helps you in work. You need to, it'll develop through years your intellectual knowledge of whatever it is that you're doing. And it loves Venus, your aesthetic sense, whatever you want to give to the world in the form of arts, music, architecture, and so on. Venus. Its enemy is Sun, Moon, and Mars. So it does not like egotistical behavior, right? It does not like emotional drama. It does not like too much of action-oriented stuff. Although Saturn and Mars, when put together, they make a good combination, right? But it does not typically like the houses of Mars. It is neutral towards Jupiter. Now, in that chart, before we begin the personification, I want you to compare the difference between Saturn and Jupiter. The friends of Jupiter are the enemies of Saturn, if you noticed. The enemy of Jupiter is the friend of Saturn. You see, even there it is opposing, right? So let's personify Saturn. Saturn is a serious kind of guy. He doesn't like to joke around. He's more of the quiet type. He's more of personified as the old man who is cynical, who has seen life, who does not believe in the fluff of life. Everything is not love and light, you know, for a Saturn. Saturn says, there is stuff to be done here. Let's get on with doing the stuff. So Saturn walks into the room and says, I like that man who is shrewd in business matters. Why? Saturn wants to give to the public. Sun wants to keep things to itself. So Saturn and Sun are usually enemies in that respect, as you can see. Excuse the throat today. And Saturn also says, I like that woman who seems like an artist. Saturn loves Venus. Okay. We shall see that in the houses when we get on further in this video. Saturn also says, I do not like that pompous woman, Sun, pomposity, Leo, egotistical, narcissistic, whatever you might call it, nor that emotional drama queen, Moon, nor that loud muscle man, Mars. Saturn also says, I find that college professor kind of guy curious, which is Jupiter. Saturn and Jupiter are neutral towards each other if you observe the table. They do not necessarily oppose each other, but because they act in different opposite ways, Jupiter is not necessarily happy in the houses of Saturn and vice versa. Okay, because one tends to expand, the other one tends to say, wait a minute, conservative. Saturn is conservative. Wait a minute, let's talk about what steps we have to take. Jupiter says, let's go for this. Let us attack this thing. Let us nail this thing. You know, so one is very expansive in whatever it touches. One is very contractive and conservative. Think of these two like this. Now let's examine how it plays out in the two ascendants and what it looks at enemies and friends, Capricorn and Aquarius. Both are ruled by Saturn. Now Capricorn and Aquarius are house number 10 and 11, right? 10 is where the Sun is at the maximum peak, meaning house of karma, house of career is the 10th house. It is ruled by Saturn, meaning everything that you do in this world for others, giving back to society. Saturn loves giving to others, taking care of the common man. Saturn is the friend of the common man. 11th house is for gains, is for popularity. Saturn rules that as well in Aquarius. But in Aquarius, it's like a maverick. It wants to do things in an unconventional way, break the norms, you know, make different forms of governance, so to speak. The Saturnian people are the ones who invented communism, for example, different ways of governing itself. That's Aquarian kind of thinking. which is all about the masses. So let's see how this plays out in these two ascendants. Okay, let's see Saturn in Capricorn first. The traditional 10th house is now in the ascendant, as you can see over there. This is the ascendant. And now Capricorn sits as the ascendant. Saturn is a lot of that. Now how does Saturn perceive friends and enemies in Capricorn? Okay, within the sign of Capricorn, within the ascendant of Capricorn. I've marked there the box, Saturn. So Mercury and Venus are friends, meaning it is friends with the second house because it is ruled by its own, its own sign. Okay, its Mool Trikon of Saturn is Aquarius. So it's friends with the second house because that's also ruled by Saturn. So second house stands for house, speech, speech, voice, senses, elder siblings, your family, your created wealth, and so on. So these areas of Capricorn become focus for the Capricorn in ascendant. They love to take care of home, family matters. Okay. Next friend sign is the fifth house. The fifth house stands for creative intelligence. It is ruled by Venus. So if Venus is placed there and it does well because it's its own sign, Taurus, Saturn loves it. Saturn supports it. Saturn supports creativity. Remember this, even though it seems like a dry planet of its own, it supports all kinds of creative intelligence, music, arts, drama, singing, you know, all these kinds of things, because it is even friends with the second house, which is all about speech, singing, music, etc. Your senses, your sensory awareness. So fifth house is friends with Capricorn ascendant. So is the sixth house. Saturn loves work, and here it falls in the house of Mercury, Gemini. So it encourages intellectual thinking. It encourages using their intellectual thought. This area becomes friends with Saturn. They love to work daily, on a daily basis, Capricorn, to make things happen. Ninth house is the house of higher philosophy. Even that is ruled by Virgo. So the highest of the Virgo, highest of the Mercury signs is Virgo, right? So if Mercury sits there in the ninth house for a Capricorn ascendant, it'll do very well. Why? Because Saturn looks at it in a nice way. Okay, go for it. Learn the higher knowledge. Learn everything. And Virgo wants to ground everything. Saturn is all about grounding. Remember the crescent that I spoke about. For a Capricorn ascendant, even the 10th house becomes friends. So they are interested in career matters. And they are interested in career matters simply because Venus rules that house. Libra falls in the 10th house. That should give you a hint. So Capricorn ascendants are very fond of liberal form of working. They're not conservative in that respect, the Capricorn ascendants. They want liberal ideas. They want to have a very open, liberal approach to working in their workplaces, careers, business, jobs, etc. Okay? Let's see how this plays out in the Aquarius ascendant now. So there you have it. Aquarius ascendant, house number 11, as you can see, is falling in the first house. So what does this give us? Aquarius is all about masses, the 11th house. It's all about doing good for others. So Saturn does extremely well as an Aquarius ascendant. Now Aquarius also looks at certain houses of friends and enemies separately. For Aquarius, home becomes a very friendly aspect. Home and family, matters of the heart. What do you do heartfelt way for others is what Aquarius sees here. It also is friends with the 5th house and 9th house, similar to Capricorn. So it loves creative intelligence as Gemini. It loves the 9th house as Libra. So Aquarius ascendant wants to look at the foundational aspects of life in a liberal sense. Wherever Libra falls, it's about the others, it's about Venus, it's supported by Saturn. Because Venus wants to give all these artistic things for others. What does an artist create any art form for? You might call it any profession. You might call it architecture, you might call it musician, a painter, a sculptor, a designer of some kind. Any kind of designing, creative intelligence, wherever it is used, is supported by Saturn. But why is that person doing it? For others. Not really for themselves. It's a very giving kind of sign, Venus. That's why Saturn supports it. Think of the psychological way to analyze this. It's a better way to understand it. And even the 12th house, the house matters of spirituality, house matters of leaving the material plane and moving more towards spiritual or inward plane. Saturn is exalted in the 12th house for an Aquarius because it is ruled by Saturn itself, by Capricorn. So if Saturn falls in the 12th house in Capricorn ascendant, these people might become like yogis. They might become really spiritual gurus, right? They can do extremely well there. Okay, and even if Saturn is placed in the 9th house for a Capricorn ascendant, they can become something like a light worker material, liberal in their approach. I know of a light worker like that, by the way. Saturn and Jupiter is both in the 9th house for her. But anyway, so this way we got to analyze, and let's see the enemy portion of Aquarius as well, because we tend to get focused on friends and enemies more in a chart than the neutral areas. The enemy portion is third house, so the Aquarian person might be having issues with younger siblings, might be having issues with competition. Aquarian people may not like competition or do very well with competition. They may get very triggered by it. Enemy area houses, think of them as like our triggers. They may get triggered with the spouse. They may get triggered with masses because it is ruled. Sorry, they may get triggered in their career because that's the enemy house. See, enemy houses are marked here in red. That's the enemy house. Spouse enemy as well as work enemy, as well as career enemy, which is very different from the Capricorn ascendant. So you got to examine this on an ascendant to ascendant basis. It's not the same. The challenging areas of our life are not pretty much the same, even if you have the same ruler. Saturn rules both Aquarius and Capricorn in the ascendant, but the type of challenges they will have in which area of life changes dramatically. This is one of the ways you got to start examining these kinds of things. Okay, I'll leave you with that much. Next, I had a thing to do about Rahu and Ketu. Now that will be a long series and a separate playlist study. Okay, because I'll do Rahu and Ketu by nakshatras and by different ascendants. So it's a huge study. I'm like, okay, that'll be a lot of material. So keep watching. Thank you for your subscriptions. And keep watching for the Rahu and Ketu, because these nodes of the moon are very vital in how they play out. And it'll be a detailed set of videos, okay? I don't want to shorten it more than necessary. It doesn't work very well then. You have understood half stuff, yeah? Take care. Be safe.